In Nepal, young children are sometimes forced to spend years in prison, although it's no fault of their own, because when parents go to jail, unless there's a local guardian for their child to stay with, the child is imprisoned with the parent. Pushpa Basnet won the 2012 CNN Hero of the Year Award for starting the Early Childhood Development Center in Kathmandu, Nepal, where children of imprisoned parents get a chance to live and learn outside of prison walls. She's the subject of a film called Waiting for Mamu, which traces the amazing effect that she and her center have had on the lives of these children. And she joins us now, along with the film's producer, Angela Bernard Thomas, and Thomas Morgan, the film's director. And I'm very pleased to welcome all three of them to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Now, Angela, isn't your film available on video on demand?
We just had some recent good news about that, and Tom actually can kind of elaborate on that.
Well, it's only 40 minutes long, so is it difficult getting it shown in theaters?
Yes. So it's actually even difficult getting it shown at festivals because you're either a short, which is typically 9 to 15 minutes, or your feature. And so the length that our film is difficult, and a lot of times they have to figure out how do we schedule and work around the time of being 40 minutes.
Well, I love the film, so where can I saw it on DVD, but how can my listeners see it?
So in mid-April, it will be out worldwide on everything from iTunes to Amazon to every other portal that they can find to download the film. Kino Nation is an aggregator of films, and they've helped us in not only putting the film out worldwide, but then also taking no fee so that we can give half of the proceeds of all revenues of the film back to Pushpa's organization to help her build her butterfly home. So it's really exciting, and we're really, really pleased with kind of the direction of the film and the enthusiasm behind it.
Pushpa, the children call you Mamu. What does Mamu mean?
A Mamu means a mother.
So they think of you as a surrogate mother. Are you the surrogate mother to all of these children?
Yes.
One of the girls says that in some ways you're more her mother than her biological mother. Are those parents absent even when they're not in prison?
Yes, they are absent. But you know, the most important thing is that it's easy for people to give birth, but you know, you have to be practical, you know, give them a nice education where they can lead a life. So definitely now my children would see because things have changed in their life, like how the life was before in the prison or not inside the prison, also being practical, but now they see as a life in a positive way, how they can lead. And so
well, what would happen to them if you hadn't come along? They just would stay in prison? Would they get any schooling?
No, I think for certain age, for 8 or 9 years, they can stay inside the prison. But after 8 or 9, they need to find a local guardian. If they don't find a local, a far cousin, so that they should be handed over. So if they would not, if we would not be existed, I'm sure they would be trafficked or street. They would land up into street. But I think things are changing.
Now, Angela, how did you find out about Pushpa and the ECDC?
Well, I went to a fundraiser almost 2 years ago now, and Tom Morgan was actually hosting a fundraiser at SPIN, which is Susan Sarandon's club. And I went there, and some mutual friends of ours introduced us. And it just so happened that Tom and I shared the same passion and wanted to get the story told, and we've been working together ever since.
And Tom, you're known for your films about social and human rights issues. And for letting people tell their own stories. But how did you first learn about Pushpa and the ECDC?
I was in Charlotte, where I am in North Carolina, and we volunteered at a place called International House, which brings people in from all over the world to teach them about the way that we govern, the way that our legal system works, and about philanthropy. And so Pushpa had been fortunate enough to be one of the people who came to the U.S. and able to participate, and we had someone else that was staying at our house, and we went to this dinner, and Pushpa told this incredible story of her work to my wife, And my wife came back because I had a one-year-old, and so she was kind of flirting with my one-year-old who, you know, couldn't kind of stay away from her. And my wife came back and said, "You've got to hear this story." And so when I went over and she first started telling me what the situation was, I honestly thought that there was something lost in translation. I thought I misunderstood her. And so, you know, I asked her again to repeat, like, "The kids aren't in prison, right?" And she goes, "No, the kids are in prison." And I looked at my one-year-old and I said, "This size?" And she said, "Yes."
I had to go
and do the story. So a month and a half later, 2 months later, I was in Nepal.
Now, are the children placed in the same jail cells that their parents are in?
Yes, but they don't have a big cell with, like, you know, small room, but it's like an open community. I would say it's a small world, you know, where the people are moving around. They have a small vegetable gardens or, like, you know, it's a normal life, but it's a different community, I would say.
What sorts of crimes were their parents convicted of? We're mostly talking about mothers, aren't we?
Yes, mother as well as father, but mostly the mothers are involved for selling drugs, like, you know, selling drugs to their people and human trafficking to India. So that's the most cases. And, like, we do have, like, people who got involved into domestic violence also, like, you know, killing their husband killing their wife. So, yeah. So mostly the cases are trafficking and selling of drugs, you know, because lack of education, lack of opportunity. They do this kind of job because, you know, it's an easy way of earning money.
Now,
you know, that's the one thing I will say is in most cases, you can see that the reason that they've resorted to this is because of the absolute desperation in their situation. When you have kids and you're making less than a dollar a day, or you're not making any money and you're trying to support your kids, you know, women are an easy target to say, "Can you just carry these drugs across your city and give them to somebody else?" Right? And you've got kids, flowing gowns and kids, who would suspect? And so I think they're easy targets. But I also, you know, to the extent that the government doesn't do this to punish the kids. It's just the best system they've got. It's all they've got. It's not punitive. It's just they don't have social services. They don't have, you know, the systems that we have in place. And so, you know, it's this or the street. So, you know, they certainly didn't do it with the intention of somehow getting back at the mothers or their children.
Well, Anto, what does the international community have to say about this, the UN or groups like Human Rights Watch?
I think that we've brought a lot of awareness with the film, and they're all embracing that. And I think slowly we're seeing a lot of change and a lot more support. Pushpa's changing it in her own country, and I'm sure that others in other countries are looking at this and thinking the same things, because this does happen in other countries.
Well, Tom described a situation where you, Pushpa, where you're almost like a child magnet. And you say that it was after a school trip to Kathmandu police station that you knew for certain that you wanted to help incarcerated children. And that's because an infant attached herself to you?
Yes, maybe that. Or I feel like, you know, I'm blessed with that. I had a good education and opportunity that was given by my parents. But there are other children, you know, just because of their parents, you know, they have to suffer. So, for me, you know, I thought I should do something, you know, but rather than seeing those things, you know, I thought, like, I should go for it and just do for it, you know, because I never thought, like, you know, today where we would stand, but I knew I had to face lots of struggle.
Well, you just can't say, okay, I'm going to take this kid out of prison. What did you have to do?
The most important thing that what we had to do was, like, personally, I had to break the circle from my parents, you know, the life what I was having as a normal child, you know, I was taking responsibility of some other kids, you know, so that was in part of it. But the most important thing, we had to go as a non-profit organization, because I can't just go to the prison and say that, you know, I'm coming here to look after the children, you know. So I had to have a board and register in a legally way so that we could take these children out from the prison every day morning and get these children back in the prison. So it was a difficult period of time, but the jailer, the officer, was really a nice person who could convince the mother to tell them to send the children for the daytime.
And so you were eventually able to establish the ECDC.
Yes, we started as a kindergarten.
And so the first children were very young. Now they range in ages. How many children have you had over the years?
Over the years, I think I have, like, more than 150, 60 children.
And you started, how old were you when you started the center?
I think I was 21. I was running to Twitter.
Do all of these children leave when their parents are released from prison?
Yes, they do leave, because that's the most important thing, you know, because I feel that when they are in hard time, we are always there for them. But, you know, after their parents come out from the prison, the parents should also look after the children. And as well as the most important thing is the bonding between a child and a mother, you know, they should go back to their parents. But sometimes what happens, like, you know, we do have like children, like 12 of them, like, you know, whose parents have already come out from the prison and they've like no contacted with us. So, you know, so we have
they just want the child to stay with you.
Yes.
But also you get the sense from looking at the film that these children have some of these children have really bonded with you. They might not want to go back to their troubled homes.
Yes, yes.
How do you deal with that?
No,
you have to say, go back anyway, even though your mother might start dealing drugs again?
No. I don't do that, you know, because some way I feel that, yes, within my office, I have to be professional, you know, but outside my office, I am a mother and I am I would think it's a family. But yes, there are some children, like, you know, who's like recently my older daughter mom got released from the prison and she said that she doesn't want to go back. And I'm fine, you know, because I think that's more important, you know, because I think it's more about a mom and a child, so I'm fine with it.
When you say your older daughter, you mean not your biological daughter. You think of all these children as your sons and daughters.
Yes, I do.
Do you teach, is this a school as well, or is this kind of like a daycare situation with schooling elsewhere?
So now we have a daycare center, kindergarten, where every morning they come out, they go back to the prison, and we run a residential home. So we 40 children are living with us within the house, you know, and they go to a school, different school. But for my little ones, we have a world of kindergarten within the house, and they learn and they do every kind of things.
My guests are Pushpa Basnet, who is the subject of a film called Waiting for Mamu, and also Angela Bernard-Thomas, who is the film's producer, and Thomas Morgan, who directed it. One of the girls in the film, Neha, is mute when she comes to the ECDC and shortly begins speech therapy to help her overcome nerve damage. How did she get that nerve damage?
Like, as far as I know, and the mother said, you know, because when a mother was pregnant, she was taking too much of brown sugar, like heroin, you know, and so it was like Hina was in her mom's tummy. So, like, you know, that's caused her the damage of her nerve inside the throat. So where she can't speak, but, like, you know, with the speech therapy, now, yes, like, she's trying her best.
And you have to pay for that medical care?
Oh, yes, we have to pay for everything.
I know you had a hard time covering the rent for the space that you keep the center in while the film was being shot. Where does your funding come from?
The funding, like, you know, whatever money we receive from CNN, we just brought the plot of a land, and now we're looking for money to construct our building. For daily operating, we have the small foundation, Glasswater Foundations, which gives us little amount of money, and Shiksha Foundation Nepal, which is based in Nepal, you know, they sponsor our 23 kids with the education books and everything. And we do get individual people to donate and sponsor a child and, like, all sorts of things.
Now, what is your staff made up of? Do you hire people or do the older kids help you?
No, we do hire people. We have total number of staff are 9, but we do have, like, to look after accounts and everything. We have part-time staff, but we do have a mother who have come out from the prison and they don't have place to go, and they work as a staff, and we do pay a certain amount of money.
Angela, the film makes it seem like the older kids take great pleasure and pride in looking after the younger ones. Obviously, that's part of their education.
They do, and when you're there and you can experience this, it's really like a family. It's really like a whole extended family. So you have the older ones taking care of the younger ones and all of them seeing to each other's needs, and they all work like a family. They all wash their own clothes. They all cook. They all tidy up. It's really a beautiful experience that they're having with Pushpa.
And Thomas, I was surprised by how well-dressed these kids are. They all look well-groomed. They have great shoes, and they all seem to look well-fed, and they all seem to be incredibly happy. What would their lives have been like otherwise?
Well, you know, I it's hard to say. That's the one thing that I asked Pushpa during the film is, you know, where would they be if they didn't have this? And, you know, they would be out on the streets, or they would be still in the prison, and And, you know, the great thing about the CNN Hero Awards is it brought a lot of attention to the work that she's doing. And so, you know, I know when I go, I take a suitcase full of clothes, and I've got four kids, and so they're, you know, inevitably there's somebody that fits that size, and people have been, they're really interested in helping, and not just helping to fund and continue the organization, but also helping and trying to figure out how do we help these kids beyond the organization? What do we do beyond this? And so, like Angela getting involved in helping with the Waldorf school inside the home, I think like some of these things are you can't put a price tag on them. But when people are aware of a situation and they're given clear ways in which to help, they do. And so that's really kind of the premise of this film and all the films that I want to do, is I just want to make sure that people understand that, you know, Pushpa's organization, these are great kids.
Well,
they just need the same opportunities everybody else does.
We have virtually no time left, but Pushpa, you look stunned when you were given that award by CNN.
Thank you.
You just burst into tears. You didn't expect to win it?
No, I didn't expect to win it, you know, because suddenly my name was announced, everything was like out.
Pushpa Basnet. We've run out of time, unfortunately. The film is waiting for Manu. Thank you, Pushpa Basnet, Angela Bernard-Thomas, and Thomas Morgan.